Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Blessed to be here. And, blessed to with the Sunday school lesson and the words that were shared so far, and we trust God will continue to speak to our hearts. Turn with me this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 3 for a scripture reading and for a text. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. As men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of such are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank you that you are our God and that you have made a way that we can have access to you and experience you in our life today. And Lord, we thank you for this portion of scripture, and we pray that you'd bless us as we look into some of these things, that you would open our eyes, that you would clarify our hearts and give us inspiration and encouragement to continue on walking with you. Bless each one here today. Meet each need. May your Holy Spirit minister to our hearts as we wait before you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. This morning, my subject is in, want to talk about is in verse 5. We read over these first verses here. It talks about some pretty bad things, about evil things, perilous times, and corruption that's coming upon the earth in the last days. And the verse that stood out to me was in verse 5, where it says, having the form of godliness. I guess that's the title of my message this morning is the forms of religion or forms of godliness. And we want to look at the thought of, you know, why is this in here where it says having a form of godliness in the midst of all these terrible sins, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, all these terrible things that are happening, and it says having a form of godliness. Is the having a form of godliness the terrible sin? A form is something, it's like an appearance, a likeness. Definition I have here says an established method of expression or proceeding, a procedure according to rule, or simply speaking, in my terms, it's the way it's done. The form is just how you do something. And personally, I don't think having a form of godliness is the great sin. Because if we are a true godly Christian, if we are filled with the Spirit and walking with God, I believe there will be a form of godliness in our life. So I don't believe that it's saying here that having a form of godliness is necessarily the sin that it's talking about. I believe the sin that it's talking about is denying the power thereof. So we do recognize that as Christians, there is a form. Form in itself isn't wrong. Form in itself is, I believe that it's our life takes a form. It has an appearance. It has, you know, there's a way we do things. That's a form. And if we do things in a godly way, I believe it's a form of godliness. And I don't see that Paul is saying that the form of godliness is the terrible sin. But the sin is in the remainder of the verse where it says, but in that of denying the power thereof. There are many forms and expressions and practices in the religious world. Form in itself is not right or wrong. We all have our ways of doing things. True Christians, I believe, will appear to be like Christ. We'll have the nature of Christ. We have the Spirit of God living in us. I believe there will be an appearance of godliness would come forth from our life. And I believe that that's right and natural. It's not wrong to appear godly, to walk in godliness and to present a form of godliness. I want that clear, that I believe that we're not saying that it's wrong to have a form of godliness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. I believe that's the kind of a form that God wants to see in his people, that of a transformed life that is renewed by the Holy Spirit, renewing of the mind by the power of God dwelling within us and giving glory to God with our life. That, I believe, will produce a form of godliness, a godly appearance, a godly life, a godly presentation in our life. And I believe I like some other translations in relation to this verse, how it reads. In the Living Translation, it says, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. I believe this is where the sin comes in, the sin of this form of godliness. They will act like religious people, but they reject the power. They will reject the power that could make them godly. Another version says that they will hold to an outward form of godliness, but deny its power. They will appear to have a godly life, but they will not let its power change them. So in reality, in a genuine walk with God, a true experience with God will present a form that has a transformed life, a transformed, that which has been changed by the power of God. And whenever we try to present some kind of a religious appearance that does not, but we do not allow the power of God into our life to transform our life and to change our life, this is the terrible sin that it's talking about here in this verse. Having this godly form, or a religious form, but not having a not allowing the power of God to transform our life and to change our life, and we continue with the corruption within our heart that's not sanctified and not changed by the power of God, and yet we try to present ourselves as that which would make a difference, that which is something different. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, it says, for the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. I believe this is the kind of a person that Paul is talking about here in Timothy. Someone that draw near to me with their mouth. They want to speak. They want to make it sound like they're religious. They want to make it sound like they are good people. But their heart is removed far away, and their heart is not, their heart is not real. The heart is not genuine. Another example of this is Ananias and Sapphira. When they came into the church, they wanted to make an appearance. They wanted to have a form. They presented themselves to the church, and they wanted to be looked at as being an example of those that have given all. And they lied about it, because they kept some back for themselves, and they didn't give a true picture. They presented themselves as something that they were not, and they died for it. This is a form of godliness, but they did not have the reality of it in their heart. This is the challenge. This is the sin. This is the concern, I believe, that Paul is talking about here in this verse, and that of trying to look like something that's not real, and denying that power that can change our life. So that's the burden of my heart this morning. You know, forms are something, it's interesting. In my lifetime, I've been exposed to a lot of different forms in church life, forms of worship, different forms of the way people do things. And sometimes I think we get the idea that if we change our form, we would be more spiritual. if we had a different form, a different way of doing things. You know, in church, I've been in churches where the form of worship is such where it's very subdued, and they sing in the slow tunes with very deep reverence, and that's a form of worship which, hey, it's not wrong in itself. There's nothing wrong with it. Then there's other churches will have more of a professional form of worship where we worship with a well-trained voices and educated musical talent. And this is not wrong in itself. It's another form. It's a different form. I believe God can be glorified in it. And then there's others. I've been in churches where it's very loud and emotional, and there's loud instruments and much clapping and a lot of things going on, and this I believe can be pleasing to God. I don't believe it can. Don't believe it's wrong. I don't believe it's right. I don't believe it. It can be wrong. It can be right. It can be wrong. I believe in the most emotional setting, it can be a dead form. I've seen where people their practice is they become emotionally stirred. They get up and they walk around the church and lift up their hands and praise the Lord, and it can be genuine, but it can be just a form. It can be just another form. I've been in churches where there's much loud music and there's dancing and jumping up and down to worship the Lord. And this, I believe, can be pleasing to God, but it can be just a form. I have a statement here that I like. It says, all great causes tend to pass from the dominion of impulse into that of use and want and mere routine. Our religion and practical godliness in daily life is apt to do that, as well as all our other actions. In other words, the things that we do, the way we do things, regardless how we do it, it tends to become a routine, just the thing that we do. And I guess the burden of my heart this morning is the thing that we do, is it motivated and empowered by the Spirit of God, or is it just the thing that we do? We come to church every Sunday. We sing songs. We share together, and we read the Word. It can be very life-giving. It can be very spiritual, but it can be just a thing to do, just a form. It can be a form that it can and. All of the things that we do, as it says here, the statement said, it tends to become routine and a form. I'll give you an example of something that I experienced in life years ago. I was on a Wednesday evening program committee once in another congregation, and a brother and I were planning our Wednesday evening activities, and one idea we came up with was that for that period of time that we were planning, that we would have on one Wednesday evening, instead of Instead of coming together at church, we would encourage our families to do some kind of outreach. Go visit somebody. Go have a cottage meeting with your neighbors. Do some kind of outreach on that Wednesday evening. That was about 45 years ago. And today, they still don't have church on that Wednesday evening. It became a form. And they don't know why they don't have church on that Wednesday evening, I don't think. I think I just like it that way. But that form, we made that plan, and it happened, and 45 years later, it's still going on that way. And they just say, well, they don't have church that Wednesday evening. That's just the way they do. But they don't have any idea why they don't have church that evening. I don't think. But that's how a form can become, you know, good. All good things can become a routine that's just the way we do it. And I guess my burden this morning is that our life is more than just a routine. It's more than just a form. But we are in contact, that we are filled and in tune with the Spirit of God. I think that's the whole difference. I think that's the concern that Paul has here in this letter. They deny the power thereof, denying the power of God. But we want to look at some more of these things. Here we have, we have in 1 Kings, in 1 Kings 19, we have where Elijah was in the cave. It says, and here was God came to him, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. But after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. But after the fire was a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave, because a voice came to him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? The thing that was interesting to me here, it says about the earthquake and the fire and the wind. It says that the Lord was not in them at this point. But we do know there were times when the Lord was in the fire. We do know there were times when the Lord was in the earthquake. And there were times when the Lord was in the wind. There were times. That doesn't mean that it never is, but at this time it wasn't. So I believe what I'm seeing is that a form is not wrong because of what it is necessarily, but it is wrong or right whether God is in it or whether he is not. I believe it is important that God is in it, and that the Spirit of God has its rightful place in the things we do and the way we do things. And the way we do things, it's not just a dead form. It's not just something that we do because we've always done it that way. But our life is alive and is in tune with the Almighty God. At times, God did appear in the earthquake. At times, he did appear in the wind. At times, he did appear in the fire. So it's not the form that determines the difference, but it's the presence of God. And that's what we want to see this morning, that God, the power and the presence of God be present in our life. The sin of 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Denying the power of God. I believe that is where the sin, the great sin is, that of trying to live our life without God, without God's presence, without His anointing upon our life, without His presence upon us. The sin is not having a godly form, but of denying the power of God. It's highly important that we recognize and to recognize and to be totally dependent upon the Spirit of God as a source of our life. If we're trying to live our Christian life in any other way than any other way except by the influence and the power of the Spirit of God, I believe our life is simply a godless form. It is the Spirit of God within our life. It's the source of our life. It's the only source of life. It's the only reality. It's the only access we have to God through the Spirit, that we can walk in the Spirit and experience the power and presence of God upon our life. And the only remedy for this sin, the only remedy for this sin of a godless form is to simply cast ourselves upon Him in complete brokenness and faith in His sufficiency as our only source of life. He is our only source. He is our only sufficiency. He is the only one who is able to make it real in our life. And it says we cast ourselves upon Him, and by faith in His sufficiency as our only source of power, the Holy Spirit within our hearts, working out its purpose in and through us, is the only remedy for a fruitful, fulfilling life that will bring honor and glory to God. Romans 8, verse 11 says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." It's that Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead. That power, all power of heaven and earth, it's available. It's a resource to you and I. And it is a must in our Christian life, if we want to walk in victory and power and experience reality, experience God, and bring glory and honor to God. When the Spirit of God dwells within us, the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, dwell in you, He shall quicken your mortal bodies and bring life to you. But how do we exercise ourselves in this spirit world? I believe that we exercise ourselves in the spirit world through prayer and Bible study and sharing the gospel with others and being vocal with the realities that are taking place in our heart and communicating with God and sharing with God, being in that relationship with God where we know and experience that reality. In 2 Timothy 3, there toward the end of the chapter, it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I believe this is the recipe for a fruitful life, that we can know what it is to walk with God and to know the scriptures, to know the will of God, and to yield ourselves to the will of God and to the work of God in our hearts and lives. I believe this is the remedy that the remedy for the problem is this. It's not in how we do things so much as the source of our life. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. That's in 1 Timothy. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We need to lay hold by faith. We need to reach out and take a hold of the Word of God and the truth of God, that the Spirit of God will have its effect in our life. I think, you know, we talk about surrendering our life and laying down our life and giving our life over to God. And I like to make it more practical. You know, how do we do that? How do we come to that? What is the practical application of what it really means to surrender our life and to lay hold on these things of God? I believe one of the biggest things in our Christian life, I believe God knows exactly what we stand in need of. I believe He knows where we are, and He knows what it takes to bring us where He wants us to be. I believe God is. When we really are desperately after God, and we want God's fullness in our life, we want His purpose and plan in our life, we want to experience all of God. God knows what it takes to bring us to that place where we are where He wants us to be. And I believe our part in that is to embrace the circumstances of life that God brings into our life. God knows how and where. He knows what it takes. He knows what we need. And if we are willing to embrace the circumstances that God brings into our life and allow them to bring death to our flesh, to bring the old man in subjection, and to bring our flesh under his control and under His dominion. If we're willing to embrace those things that He brings into our life, the circumstances, the situations, God knows what it's going to take to bring you where He wants you to be. It might be false accusation. It might be a blame for something that you don't feel it's fair. It might be a financial disadvantage, or it might be persecution. He talks about that in his chapter, that there will be persecution. Paul talks about all the things that he went through here in this chapter. He says, thou hast known my doctrine, my manner, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions which come unto me, which I endured. But out of them all, God delivered me. I believe, and he says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I believe that there is a principle that God will take us through difficult times. Brother James talked about the pain in our lives. I believe that God calls us to embrace the pain. I believe that pain can bring about beauty in our life. I believe God gives beauty for ashes. Whenever there's pain, there's difficult things in our life. These are the things that God uses to bring out the beauty and to bring out his power and manifest himself in our life. God's going to, I know the one brother that I know he likes to pray for people and pray for the Holy Spirit to work in the lives of people, and he warns them right up front. He says, you're going to experience pain, you're going to experience trouble, you're going to experience difficult things. Are you sure you want this? Are you sure you're ready to do this? This is a part of God's way of working, of performing his beauty in our life, taking us through pain, through difficult things, through hard things. And when we're willing, by the Spirit and the power and the grace of God, to embrace those painful things in our life, God will bring out the beauty. He will pour in his Holy Spirit, his Spirit of power, the oil of his presence upon our life. He will pour out his presence into our heart and empower us that our life can bring glory to God. And we know what it is to experience the power of God. We will not be denying the power of God. I believe we will experience a form of godliness that gives glory to the Almighty God. I believe we will experience a form of godliness that comes forth from the Spirit of God through the power of God as we embrace the circumstances of life, as we embrace the situations that God takes us through. The more we seek after God, the more we lay hold on him, I believe he will provide the oil of his presence and power in our life to overcome. Like Paul says, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. The Lord delivered him from every situation. And I believe he wants to deliver you and I. He wants to purify us and sanctify us and make us more like him, more what he wants us to be. That we can have a form of godliness that does not deny the power of God. We can have a form of godliness that brings glory to God. A form of godliness that is right, that is holy, that is pure, and it is spiritual. Like I say, I don't believe that God is concerned about that we change the form of the way we do things, that we do, if we do stop doing it this way and start doing it another way, it's going to be more spiritual. I don't believe that's going to make anything more spiritual, to try to change our form. I believe we can have a godless form in many different ways, but I believe when God is in it, It's going to bring glory to Him. It's going to, our worship and our way of life, our daily walk with God, it's going to glorify God. When His Holy Spirit dwells within us and we experience reality by embracing the things that He brings into us and walking with Him by faith, glorifying Him, giving Him the glory, and owning to God all that belongs to Him. For we cannot do it ourselves. We cannot stand alone. We cannot accomplish anything by trying to present something that is disconnected with God. So I want to thank you for your attention. I trust that we can be challenged to walk with God and experience that reality in our life every day.